welcome back to the show, hour three of the People Show. Pick Nazar, Randy Janda with Jamie Dodd as well. Eddie Gregory running the show today. People are fired up on the donut conversation right now. 650, 650. Nick texting in. Nobody should take Bick's opinion seriously anymore, considering his thoughts on donuts and Christmas music. And to which I said, Boston cream donuts are the little drummer boy of donuts. Both uneatable and unlistenable.
Okay, if you force me to eat a Boston cream donut, I'd eat it. If you force me to listen to Little Drummer Boy, I'd run out of the house and just, like, never look
Thank
back.
Thank you, Randy.
Yeah, that is the most
kindred
annoying...
Kindred spirits right here.
Yeah, most annoying song ever. Not even close. No. Don't do
what
this.
What is that?
No, I don't know what it's... It's like... Sound like the Middle Eastern version of Little Drummer Boy.
Yeah, that...
kind of remix, the first one that popped up on the YouTube
search. I don't know what kind of... I don't know what kind of remixes Eddie's looking up here.
A miss there. keep the thoughts covered at 650, 650. So we mentioned this heading to break. It's been going so well for Soccer Canada, the men's program. You know, winning in Azteca, having their success during CONCACAF World Cup qualifying. And we've been kind of just looking at this and, you know, peeking at the table, and there they are, 16 points through 8 games, and it's smooth sailing. And now news comes today about Alphonso Davies. Looked to be sidelined by myocarditis after his COVID-19 infection. And he is going to be missing 3 qualifying matches for Team Canada. Does it put into question their qualification status for you, Randy? Or are they have they done enough of the good work to kind of solidify their position?
Yeah, first of all, it sucks because, you know, on even a personal level for anybody, mm-hmm. whether it's an athlete, like just seeing that happen and inflammation of the heart linked to COVID is terrible across the board. So hope he gets better. But when you talk about qualifying, no question it does put it in doubt because he is the best player. He is the only player as of right now that our program on the men's side can say is among the best in the world, right? Like that's how unique of a player Alphonso Davies is. They've put themselves in a very good position, but when you lose your best player, that doubt is going to go through the player's head, the fans, the media, whoever is following this team. That being said, do they have talent on that roster that can help pick it up? Absolutely. But then you start looking at like a Tejon Buchanan to play a bigger role. You look at Jonathan David having to be that number one player on the team and has to provide goals. And, you know, those are two flair special players that are now, you know, obviously on the European radar. We'll see where Jonathan David ends up playing when he makes his move from Lille. At some point, he's supposed to be going to a bigger club. And Tejon Buchanan, yeah, you know, you want the slow play with a young player, but unfortunately, due to this, with the Alphonso Davies not being able to play, Tejon Buchanan's going to be pushed to the fore a little bit more, and they're going to probably need a little bit more from this young player, probably earlier than they'd hoped.
You know, what's been really fascinating through these 8 matches is the growth of the team, and on a whole, you would say kind of the growth of the program. And I had low expectations, and they have far surpassed my expectations of what this qualification period has been. But what's been most encouraging, and I know we always talk about process and results, but you know, what's been most encouraging is to see this squad really play and, you know, dictate the tempo of these matches against Mexico, against Panama, against USA, like, you know, the teams that you would have some fear of going up against. And it's no longer just been about hanging on into matches. It's, hey, how do we try to create? How do we try to get on the front foot and score some goals ourselves? And the overall play, the team play, and just the build-up has been so encouraging to see from Canada. And I'm curious, without someone that has like a gravitational force to them, like Davies does, does that, you know, does the style of play change for Canada? Do they go back to, you know, you mentioned some other guys, Buchanan, obviously Jonathan David, and guys who are going to have increased roles and importance to try to dictate goals. But I look at this and I think, hey, this is the moment now for the defense. It's, do you play, not scared, but do you play a bit different where you're a bit more protective? And do you play to win for set pieces or something like that? And, you know, the Honduras and El Salvador matches I'm not as worried about, albeit they have to go travel for those matches. It's the USA match that I look at and say, do you now have to try to play a bit more conservative?
I'll be honest, I hope they don't, because I think one of the biggest changes that we've seen with John Herdman is the mentality of not being scared and saying, hey, we have special players on this roster, but we have a cohesive belief that if we put all of this together, you can win that match. And, you know, I mentioned two of the young guys, but you still do have a Kyle Larin who's been able to finish at a very high level, both domestically playing for Beşiktaş and Turkey, but also at the Canadian level. So I hope that mentality stays strong to say, any given night, sure, you're maybe missing your best player, and that's going to take an effect. There was runs, those special plays that Davies does in every single match, multiple of them, you're not going to have those. But if you go back to a conservative style, I just don't see John Herdman falling back into that. That's not what he is. That's not what he's been preaching for the last little bit. It's going to be on the Richie Larreas, the Tejon Buchanans, the Jonathan Davids, Kyle Larins, and those players to kind of continue what they started. I'll be shocked if John Herdman takes a step, you know, his foot off the gas pedal. It would be shocking.
No, yeah, I think that's what's important too, because this is the culture of football you've now created for Soccer Canada. You're trying to play on the front foot. You're trying to be more creative in these matches and try to be a bit more courageous in the style you're playing. And again, we'll wait to see what happens. And so I do think you're right, and I'm just very curious about with them being this close to qualification, right? They probably need, what, 5-6 more points? With them being this close, draws really matter now. If you get a point, you're thinking, all right, we got that point, and great result versus, you know, Honduras traveling away. We know how difficult that can be. And if they manage to uphold that, and I think there are star players, you know, Buchanan and David, as we mentioned, and Kyle Larin and all these sort of guys, if they show up and continue that strong play that we've seen through these opening eight matches, that would be, I think that would be speak to a bigger thing outside of just, you know, where Soccer Canada is. I think it would speak to, you know, it's the indicator that the next gen is also going to matter too.
Totally. And I think that gives you, even though this is a difficult situation for the program, if you can get through this, if you can, you know, grind through this and qualify, the amount of confidence you have in the program as a whole, that just goes through the roof. So, you know, you hope that Davies is fine and you hope the program continues to go in that same direction, because the confidence that you have in one player, we all have that in Alphonso Davies. But if the team can somehow find a way to grind through this, then that confidence is spread throughout the team. I think there's a bigger belief outside of one player even. And that's going to go a long way, because, you know, you look at some of the teams in the world, even the best teams on the planet. You know, can Argentina play without Messi? Sometimes they're okay. Sometimes he's the only thing that works. Cristiano Ronaldo, when he retires, what does Portugal look like? In the short term, with Alphonso Davies in Canada, we're going to find out what this Canadian team is without Davies in hopefully just a couple of matches here, nothing longer than that.
Brandon from the OP with an interesting text. Question, Canada losing Alphonso Davies, is it equal to Edmonton losing McDavid? They still have a good team, but they don't have their best player and game changer. I would say the supporting cast for Canada is significantly better than the supporting cast for the Edmonton Oilers.
Okay. I didn't see that. I didn't see that coming.
No,
but,
it's an interesting text. It's an interesting text, and I just want to explore the idea. I don't know. I feel like the rest of the cast, if McDavid goes out, right, obviously all the attention goes to Dreisaitl. But I'm not expecting guys to be able to step up and carry the Oilers for 10 some odd games. Whereas Davies is going to be out for three matches here. And I do think if we look at the 9 points that are available, how many do you expect to get? I'm still looking at least 5.
Yeah, I think 5. Yeah, I would even argue 6. I think they're a good team that can still win without Alphonso Davies. It hurts you, but they still have quality. And count me, you know, maybe foolish as being a believer in this program, but I think we've seen enough from the other guys, too, that we're seeing, hey, these guys can do some damage against some teams in CONCACAF.
I would be genuinely surprised if they lost against Honduras and El Salvador. If they picked up draws, I would say, okay, hey, like, you got a point, important, all that sort of stuff. But I would be genuinely surprised if they lost. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, absolutely. I agree with you 100%. Like, those are the ones you got to win. The U.S. one is always going to be a grind.
Mm-hmm. Bick Nizar and Randeep Janda here on The People's Show. You'll hear the Vancouver Giants later tonight as they return to action at the LEC. Let's talk to the GM of the Vancouver Giants, Barclay Parnetta, joining us on the line now. Barclay, how are you?
Big Randeep, People's GM's pumped to be back on The People's
Show.
There
we go. Barclay, I knew you would come with that because that is your title in this region, my friend.
You buddy.
We when we were doing our pre-show meeting, we're like, all right, we're going to talk to Barclay. And Randeep said, I wonder how long it's going to take him to say the People's GM. And I set the over-under at 10 seconds. So you came in on the under.
That's perfect.
Awesome. So first game in a while here. How have you guys managed to utilize the time off?
We didn't have much choice. So, I mean, we were in isolation. Awaited sort of some results on things, and once that was done, we were able to have some different groups skate. So some of the guys that had got in earlier that tested positive were able to skate sooner than others, and then we were finally able to get the whole group cleared and okay to play. According to all the provincial guidelines, they had a practice with everybody on Thursday, so it was kind of good to get them out there and get the rust off.
Also got a return of, Justin Sordov's coming back. Jesper Vikman is coming back. Michael Dick and others that were away from the World Juniors. So it feels like I know the circumstances are not ideal. You had to postpone play, but it must be nice to have the entire group back and just kind of going towards that common goal yet again.
It really is. And, you know, every team in our league is in the same situation as all the people, all the minor hockey teams. We're all dealing with this right now. So, you know, it's not like it's going to be an uneven playing field. I think everybody's dealing with the same things that we are. So the preparation from all the other teams will be similar. And you know what? It's for the mental health sake, it's just great to get everybody back in the rink. We hope we have most of it behind us and we can sort of focus on moving forward from here on out and be exciting for the people to come to the rink and see a team. These kids are hungry. They really want to play. And I think what's been happening in the last 2 years really has made these kids appreciate things even more. So I think you're going to see a lot of these kids in the next half.
Well, I was just going to ask, you know, for exactly that, when you take a 2-week break here and already with the scope of dealing with all the things that you guys have dealt with, you know, what do you expect in these, we hope is the final run in here with no other stoppages?
Well, I mean, I initially, obviously, things are going to be a little sloppy again because you've been off for a while and timing's off. And it sort of was the Christmas break was sort of a little before that. We didn't really get up and running too much. So, you know what? I think that what's important for us is just to make sure that the kids understand and the players understand, the staff understand that we are far down the road of this. And it's not like it was the first time around where we thought we're going to be back in 2 weeks and it's been 2 years or whatever. But, you know, I think that the mandate is to get through and play and everybody be safe and get your vaccinations, obviously, and get past this. And I think that's the biggest thing for the kids is they need to believe that we're far enough along that we're going to continue to play for the rest of the year. And there's no talk of us not playing. So that's the biggest thing.
You've got back-to-back games against the Prince George Cougars at the Langley Event Center, and that starts tonight. A special night at the rink as well because it is the BCLC Community Heroes jerseys in support of farmers and food producers and their efforts during the pandemic. You know, you look at, you know, we've talked about the hockey side of things, but like a night like tonight where you are giving love to the community, what does that mean for the organization and just, I guess, celebrating each other? Because it's been a tough couple of years here. What does a night like tonight mean for the organization?
I mean, I think it just brings the human side of everything that's happened into reality and to look at things and see what really is important and what isn't important. And, you know, all the essential workers, the farmers, the healthcare people, they've really been putting their jobs into high gear and put themselves out there to be at risk to help all of us. And I just can't thank those people enough. They're selfless in doing that. And you know what? You really didn't hear a lot about people sort of saying, I'm not going to go to work today. I'm not going to go to plow my crops, or I'm not going to go to the hospital today. Like, people are really, really working together and come together with this. And for me, I think it really shows the young players and just the people around it that, you know, we're all human and how important we are that we get through this together, as corny as that sounds. We really do. And it's amazing what the human kind can do when the chips are down and the backs are against the wall.
Talking to Barclay Parnetta, Vancouver Giants GM. They're back in action tonight versus the Prince George Cougars. Curious, do you keep an eye on, like, the NHL Central scouting list? I know, obviously, hey, you're working on your own job and developing guys internally, but Justin Lees cracks the list this week when it came out. Do you keep an eye on that sort of stuff? And what does it mean to you when you see your guys on this list?
Well, sure, we do. I mean, we're obviously proud of our players when they get recognized by the scouts. And you know, we're always talking with NHL scouts or even working with Central Scouting and sort of promoting our players. But ultimately, it's a decision made by people watching the players and seeing what they accomplish on the ice, sort of. So it's certainly nice to have that. And, you know, the Giants have a long history of putting players in the National Hockey League, and it's something that I think attracts players to come to play for the Giants. So certainly it's good to see, and you always want to have a Giant logo tied to a player's name that's on that list.
It's you know, a happy return to the rink, but before the pause here, you know, the team was struggling a little bit. They'd won 2 out of 10. How do you get back on track and just, you know, right the everything now that you've got a full squad?
Well, that's the key, the full squad. You know, the coaching staff's back together. You know, we win, go on a good winning streak, and then we sort of fall back and drop out of it. It, you know, kind of a Jekyll and Hyde type of team, and I know we've got a really good group of players. We just got to bring them all together and all get on the same page. And, you know, Michael Dick has a strong history of having really good second halves with teams, and certainly one of the best playoff coaches in the WHL, if not anywhere. So got a lot of faith in the group, and I think we're going to see a more consistent group that just grows and grows to fulfill the potential that I think that we all thought we once had.
He is Barclay Parnetta here from the Vancouver Giants. Oh, actually, before we let you go, trade deadline's coming up pretty soon here, is it not? The 17th?
It is. Yeah, the 17th.
Any plans? What does that mean for you?
Well, I mean, we're busy. We're fielding calls. And I want to use old cliche line that I always hate to hear from GMs. Well, we can make our team better, we will. But in all honesty, there's nothing that we wouldn't look at, and there's nothing that we sort of have in the works right now that I would say is imminent. But, you know, we're always open to listen, and you know, we want to try to stay competitive this year as well as if we have to do something for the future to add. You know, we'd certainly look at it. But right now, I don't see anything that is pressing or imminent on the forefront here. So I hope the boys play well tonight and tomorrow, that's for sure. A little more motivation for them.
We're going to keep an eye on what happens tonight and this weekend, and we'll keep an eye. Maybe we'll talk to you on Monday or Tuesday after you're busy at the trade deadline. Barclay, thanks a lot.
Hey, thank you, guys. And everybody, come on down to Langley tonight. It's going to be a great night. And get some normalcy going and enjoy yourself in an arena that you've got to be vaccinated to enter. So love to see you down there. And you guys, too. We got to get you out to a game so we can hang out in a box and have a few brewskis.
I'm ready.
I'm
ready for the hockey to be back, and let's do that. Bick and I will head out there for sure.
All right, let's go, boys. Take care.
That's awesome. That's Barclay Parnetta from the Vancouver Giants, the People's GM.
I love it. He just took on that role with the People's show, and was like, you know what? Absolutely. Lean into it, Barclay. Love it.
He's here for it. He's here for it. Again, Vancouver Giants are here with the call tonight. Dan O'Connor and Bill Wilms on the broadcast. Bick Nizar, Randeep Janda here, the People's Show. We asked you earlier for our trivia question. We forgot to get back into this because the donut talk completely took over the show. We dropped the trivia question to you. Jim Rutherford won a Stanley Cup with the Hurricanes in 2006. Who was the Conn Smythe trophy winner that year? We got a lot of correct answers, and one person won a pair of tickets to the Canucks and Panthers on the 21st of this month. What was the answer, Randeep, and who's our big winner?
The correct answer was Cam Ward, yes. If you forgot about Cam Ward, he was a Stanley Cup winner. He won the Conn Smythe that year. He was very good. And shouts to the winner from Burnaby, Ummer. Ummer is today's winner. We will be back with the Canucks ticket giveaway next week as well. But for the final time this week, Ummer, congratulations.
Now here I thought it was Ty Conklin was the MVP.
Ty Conklin. Fernando Pisani could have been in the running that year had the Oilers won.
Well, it was Ty Conklin that had the giveaway there, right?
He was, yeah.
Yeah.
But wasn't that the one and only time that Fernando Pisani was like really relevant on a national 100%. Stage?
100%. To me that Stanley Cup final is a very good what if. Like, what if Rolison doesn't go down?
Yeah.
Because he was playing so well. So well. It's one of the more incredible goaltending performances in recent Stanley Cup or recent playoff history. It's like, you know, Jaguar and Rolison. It's that kind of tier. And if he doesn't go down behind the net there, what happens? I just always wonder.
Yeah, those Ty Conklin numbers now, even during the regular season, his save percentage was 88. Like, it was rough, great. Man.
Not great.
No, it was rough. So, yeah, they kind of, that was not good for them. Not at all.
And Juuse Markkanen came in and played okay. Again, he wasn't playing to the level Rolison was, but he was manageable. I don't know. It felt like it was right there for that Oilers team, and, it just went wrong for Dwayne Rolison and Ty Conklin. Hey, so, yeah.
It was a cup win for Jim Rutherford, though. And that's one of the reasons the Vancouver Canucks got him. One of the three reasons. Three-time cup champion.
Cam Ward. Our people still texting in. Cam Ward! We've given away the tickets. We've given away the tickets. Thanks for all the texts that are coming in right now, though. 650, 650. OP. Sorry, Brandon from the OP texting back in here. By the way, if I ordered a random mix of donuts and I ever see an apple fritter in that box, it's getting hurled out the window. I don't need a dog chew toy in my donuts. Thanks. Just say no to apple-scented choking hazards. That is so descriptive that I feel like Brandon has done that. He's caused an office ruckus when he's seen an apple fritter in his box.
I can't blame him. Like, apple fritters to me, okay, I'm kind of picky when it comes to my donuts. Like, I know what I like and I know what I don't like. Boston cream, no. Chocolate glaze, give it to me. Glazed, I'm fine with. Apple fritter, get out of here. You know, like a maple dip, I'm good with that. A solid chocolate sprinkle, I'm good with that too, but you got to make sure it's a proper chocolate.
Yeah, I'm not a big sprinkle guy.
Jelly, I'm good for it. Like, that's my top five. That's all I want. Yeah. Everything else, get out of here.
Low key, I think the reason I'll peel back the curtains, and the reason I might not like Boston cream donuts is... The very first time I ever had one, I don't know if I was expecting cream. So I just grabbed this. I was like, oh, this donut's got chocolate on it. This looks amazing. And then with such excitement, you bite into it. And you're like, what is happening?
I can imagine like 6-year-old Bic biting into a box of cream and just being like, what is this?
Yeah.
What is this texture in my mouth?
I was betrayed by the donut, and since then I've just have a permanent hate on for Boston cream donuts. It might be related to that, to be honest.
So you might even like the taste, but that trauma has set you back.
Yeah, to be fair to all the Boston cream supporters that are coming in 650, 650, that might have been what happened.
No, I'm not a cream guy. I like jelly better. That's where it comes down to me. Not a cream guy.
604-280-0650. We'll jump to the phone line here really quickly. Gary in Aldergrove, what's on your mind, Gary?
Hey, how's it going, guys? I actually had a question and I had a statement. So first, let me ask my question.
Okay.
Who would you say your favorite Canuck is on the team? If you had to pick, gun to your head, pick your favorite Canuck.
Well, to what definition are we saying favorite? Like, I don't know. Who do
I'm
I enjoy
saying,
the
like,
most? Who I think is the best?
Like, if you had to buy someone's jersey and say, that's my favorite player, who would you say?
I'm going Bure.
Buy jerseys?
Like now or in the past?
Right now. Right,
oh, right now.
Now.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm.
Okay. I'd probably go JT.
I recently did buy a jersey for someone, so it was a Quinn Hughes jersey, so I'll go Quinn Hughes. What's the statement?
That's that question. So you can answer that question later. Let me talk about my statement. My favorite player is Tyler Motte. My room is covered in Tyler Motte posters. Every night before bed, I do an ancient shamanic ritual in honor of Tyler Motte.
Can you videotape this for us, please?
That's all I have to say, boys. Happy Friday.
All right, thank you very much. That was Gary in Aldergrove. You know, there already is the Church of Pedersen. I think Gary is trying to start up the Church of Tyler Motte.
I wasn't expecting that call from Gary. I'm very intrigued now by his shamanic ritual.
We try to mentally prepare ourselves for a lot of things during the show, and weird texts that we get and into the 650 inbox. I was not prepared for that one.
Okay.
Literally at all.
I was shocked on multiple levels because I didn't realize they still make posters.
They definitely still make posters.
Do they? Okay.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that.
Kids still need posters on the wall, man.
That was just like all digital now, man. You just, you know, it's the world we live in.
I guess maybe Gary is good friends with Connor Bedard. Just the two biggest Tyler Mott stands in the world.
Well, we got this from Jeff in Mission right now. Gary from Aldergrove. Is that really Connor Bedard calling from North Van?
Exactly.
Could be.
Exactly. 650, keep the thoughts covered in with your thoughts. We'll get into more of the conversation. A couple of more things we're going to wrap up on the Vancouver Canucks after their game yesterday. And just talking about the progress they've been making. Thing is, they also need some depth scoring. They absolutely need some depth scoring. We'll get into that conversation coming up on the other side. Plus, your NFL preview on the way on the home of the Canucks, Sportsnet 650. Welcome back to the show. Final segment of the week for the People Show. Vic Nizar, Randy Janda. Excited to talk to our next guest here. He'll join us in just a second here. Trevor Lai. Will be joining us. If you haven't seen the design for the Lunar New Year jersey, the warm-up jersey that the Vancouver Canucks will be wearing, it is fantastic. When this got dropped the other day, it dropped about this. We were doing the show, and it dropped during the show a couple of days ago, and just like floored, man. It is such a gorgeous design.
It totally is, and I have an extra incentive of loving it. I was born in the year of the Tiger, so is just like, this is my year, this is my my animal. But, you know, for real, though, you know, what the Canucks have been able to do on the theme nights and specifically celebrating the Lunar New Year in Diwali, which I've been able to work closely with as well, just adds another layer of, you know, just adding to the team and celebrating everything that this community is about, and I love it. So it's one thing to have a connection with your team, but when your team goes the other way and says, hey, we're gonna bring you in as well, we're gonna reach out to community and make this your team, I absolutely love that. This is one unbelievable design, but on top of that, just having the team really go, you know, and make a message with this as well. And this is why I'm really excited to have this conversation, is that, you know, there has been anti-Asian hate in the last couple of years, which is something that hopefully, you know, awareness and education around communities and people, that we can help to tackle that. And that's why I'm looking forward to this conversation. Hopefully this jersey launches those conversations as well.
It's extending a hand to a community, right? It's one thing to recognize, and here's another opportunity to extend out to these communities and really heighten the profile of the celebrations, but for all the things that you're talking about. And let's talk to Trevor Lai now, who is the artist who came up with this awesome design, which is getting a lot of acclaim. Trevor, thanks a lot for joining us, but also congratulations on a tremendous jersey design. You deserve all the credit in the world. Well done.
Oh, well, thank you so much. It's great to be here with you guys and talk about the jersey.
So what was the process into putting this? What was your initial thought process into come up with this design?
Well, I really was listening to just now when you guys were talking about the anti-Asian activity. And first and foremost, you know, I grew up in Vancouver, a lifelong Canucks fan. And, you know, obviously as a member of the Chinese community, I was really emotional when I started to see some of the activities happen. And I felt like, oh, this is not who we are, right? As a community. And, you know, it made me really think about how can I use my talents as a designer and a creator to help, you know, move forward positively and create some change. So when I spoke to the Canucks, I said, how about we create a Lunar New Year jersey that really starts to get the message across about change? Hey, let's change the direction we've been going the past couple of years, which has been tough on everyone. And let's try to move in a positive direction. And luckily, they were super supportive. And they said, yeah, let's, you know, use the logo and as a starting point to really spark this conversation. And I was able to get a lot of freedom to literally change the logo.
No, it's a great logo, and as I was mentioning in the lead-up here as well, as I was born in the year of the Tiger as well, so it resonates with me personally a little bit, 1986. But, you know, your nod to the history of Chinatown, I absolutely love that in the design on the shoulder as well. You know, you talk about growing up in the city and what that area represents, and how important was it for you to incorporate that element in that part of the city, just given the history in this region?
Well, absolutely. It was obviously a big part of my childhood, you know, going to Chinatown with my family. But I also think as just a part of, you know, the entire city and, you know, what it means to a lot of people, whether or not you're Chinese, I think that part of town is iconic. And then if you add on the fact that you've got Canucks fans, and when they go to the arena and they go through that area, I'm sure a lot of them have spent time in that area. And so it's part of, you know, the entire community, not just for Chinese people. I think it's for everyone. And so when you go back to my overall design philosophy, I thought, let's take some universal ideas. You know, Chinatown is all about family, culture, history. And those are universal themes, right? Everyone can relate to that. And I thought the Millennium Gate is such an iconic symbol of those great values. And then you add on the fact that the message at the top says, remember the past, look forward to the future. And I thought, what an inspirational message. And probably now more than ever, we need to do that, right? Remember our past, but look forward to the future and see how we can move things forward positively.
Does it, this is your world that you live in, right? And so I'm curious to kind of explore it here. But when you create art and pieces of artwork like this and designs like this, and you're trying to spur on a conversation of, you know, anti-Asian hate and family values and all this sort of stuff, does it surprise you that you're able to do this from something like a logo design?
Well, you know, I guess I've been doing this for 20 years now, and I always try to come from a really, again, a human universal perspective. I truly believe, you know, we're all part of the same family and community. And so when I start from that point, I think it's actually, you know, I don't want to say easy, but it comes to me naturally. And also, I mean, I am a lifelong Canucks fan. So when I think of a logo and I think of a jersey, I've obviously been collecting them for years, and I love, you know, the idea of being able to design it. And so I think about, if I was a fan, you know, what would be exciting and interesting for me to see on this jersey and just spark that interest and conversation. So I've had fans already tell me when they first took a glance at the jersey, they couldn't even tell initially that it was different. And they had to kind of do like a double take, you know, and they looked and they go, wait a minute, the orca's a tiger now. And then they're like, oh, you're the tiger. And it's kind of this like unwrapping of a gift, you know, and layer by layer, they discovered all the meaning behind it. And then they look at the shoulder patch and they're like, hey, that's Chinatown. I remember seeing that. What are these characters inside? Oh, that is the Chinese name for the Vancouver Canucks. What's this message across the top? You know, remember the past, look forward to the future. It's this beautiful discovery process. And I think that storytelling aspect that I infused into the design is probably one of the reasons that it's resonated.
I think we may have disconnected there from Tyler or from Trevor. We'll connect with him, reconnect with him in just a second. But hearing that, Randeep, yep. Right? It's you know, one of the reasons I love talking to people that are passionate about what they do and whatever it is. We live in the sports world, right? And we talk to people that, you know, are very passionate about hockey, football, whatever. But you apply that to other walks of life, and mm-hmm. You can just hear the direct translation from his process into creating this, and I get excited seeing just hearing him talk about it. Forget how great it looks,
yep.
Which it absolutely does. But just hearing someone else's excitement about their own work there.
It's such a, you know, there's a community pride to it. There's a civic pride when you can mix what you do for a living with representing your team. Right. And I'm looking forward to getting Trevor back on the line here, because he's referenced a couple of times about being a fan of this team. Just having that experience, and Trevor is one of those individuals, but I know Jay Ignagada, who also did the Diwali jerseys, has part of that history as well, where you've created something that will live on forever and link to your team. That's got to be a really cool, unique feeling, where I think a lot of us, you know, growing up and supporting any team that you do, that's not many people are able to do that. Not many people are able to say, hey, I created something for a team that I love, and it's gonna live forever. The pictures will be out there forever. That's got to be such a cool and, you know, meaningful in this regard too, because, you know, you're going to be able to give back to your community. Proceeds will be going to a great cause, which does tackle, you know, anti-Asian hate and local organizations. So that's important. But even just having that moment of, even if it's a small chapter, maybe it could be a page or a paragraph in mm-hmm. your, you know, your favorite team's history. You're able to, you're a part of it.
Trevor, we're back connected with you. We'll let you finish your thought there before we got disconnected.
Oh, yeah. So sorry about that. So, yeah, it's about you taking these universal values and that history of Chinatown, but making it appealing to all the entire fan base. And I think that storytelling is part of the thing that is really making this jersey inspirational and resonate with the entire fan base, is that they can see a part of themselves in the entire story that I've woven into the jersey. And I think because of that, you know, this will hopefully endure and keep the conversation going even after, you know, the jersey's launched and everyone's seen it at the game.
Yeah, it's such a cool moment. And, you know, I was just mentioning earlier on as well, just being linked to your favorite team and creating something for them. You've referenced a few times of being a lifelong Canucks fan, somebody that grew up in Vancouver. You know, when they wear this jersey, what will that moment be like for you as a diehard Canucks fan?
Oh, my goodness. I'm getting goosebumps even when you just say that, when they wear their jersey. You know, I my whole life, obviously, I've really believed in the power of imagination and dreaming. And everything that I've been able to do, whether it's with my cartoon and animation and working, you know, with the league on initiatives like this, and then now working with my, you know, childhood team, it's kind of like it starts with a dream. And then you have to take a lot of action and you have to put yourself in a place to be able to make it happen. And then really at that ultimate moment when you can share it with an entire fan base, you know, with your family and your friends, I think that's when it's really, really going to hit me, you know. So I'm just, you know, first and foremost, I'm really hopeful that everyone's going to be, you know, healthy and able to be able to see the jerseys on the ice. And I just, you know, I'm so excited to see the players wearing this design. And it's going to be another reinforcement of dreams coming true. And that goes for everyone.
Well, so you're a fan of the team. We got to ask you, like, what are you liking about the season so far? Or maybe in particular, what are you liking about the last 10 games so far?
Oh, well, you know, I follow, you know, even when I'm overseas, I follow every single game. And I'm always refreshing, you know, your channel as well. And, you know, when I'm thinking about the team now, there's so much hope. And isn't that perfect timing that we're coming up on this Lunar New Year? Because I think we've already turned, like, a page to a new era. And I think everyone feels re-energized. And, you know, even with the last couple of games being tough games, those are really big opponents. And I think we've held our own. And I really love, you know, everything that Bruce has done in terms of just being really positive, but also being honest and being able to say, well, hey, listen, it was my fault yesterday. You know, I kept putting the same guys out there when we went 0-for-4, right, on the power play. And be able to talk like that, I think, is really refreshing. And, you know, I'm super excited. I've always been excited about being a fan. You know, I flew over for the 2011 Stanley Cup Finals. So I flew across the world just to come and watch the finals. So I'm as diehard as they get, and they know that about me in China, too. I'm the biggest Canucks fan there.
Trevor, this has been awesome. Congratulations on the design. If people want to find you and check out either the design or anything else you do, where can they find you?
Yeah, they can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Up Studios World. And if they go on YouTube, they can find our Super Boomy Hockey Hero series that I filmed with the NHL.
Awesome. That's awesome, man. Congratulations, and thanks for giving us some time today, and we can't wait to see these on the ice.
Yeah, thanks so much. It was great talking to you, and I look forward to seeing you guys soon.
That is Trevor Lai joining us, the artist who designed the Lunar New Year warm-up jerseys that you will see soon on the ice, and yeah, they look spectacular. They came out 2 days ago during our show, and it was just so they really pop on, like, the digital. I can't wait to see these in person.
And you're totally right about, like, every time you view it, you pick up a detail that I didn't see the first time. So, you know, there's just an intricate aspect to these jerseys that is awesome. We got a bunch of texts rolling in saying, how do we get these jerseys? How do we buy these jerseys? So, you know, based on what happened with the Devati jerseys, which is a theme night as well, they were up for auction. So there was, I know at that time, the t-shirts and hoodies that came out were for sale, but the jerseys, those were up for auction. And remember, proceeds from the Lunar New Year merchandise that eventually will go on sale, is going to go towards Eliminate Hate. That's a local community organization advocating for racial equality and inclusivity for Asian Canadians. So it's going to go to a great cause whenever this merchandise does become available.
Vic Nazar, Randy Janda here on The People's Show. Thanks to everyone for chiming in, 650, 650. And thanks to Trevor, Barclay, Stacy, Arda, all joining the show today. Before we go, we got to get to our NFL playoff preview this football season. Make it the Clayton Public House, 188th Street and 56th Avenue in Surrey, and the ClaytonPub.com. Randeep, it is it's finally here. Playoff time, baby. We'll go through this game by game here. And, you know, we talked to Mark Schofield earlier this week, and we always ask him, okay, what's the quarterback matchup that you're most looking forward to? And, you know, here we are in the playoffs, and there's Mahomes, and there's Brady, there's Dak, and Josh Allen. And, you know, what's funny, too, is the way the games get structured on playoffs is always fascinating, because they always put the marquee ones, you know, Sunday night, and the Saturday AM one sometimes it can be, oh, okay, whatever, we'll just stick this one here. But if you're looking at the quarterback matchups, Mark said on Tuesday, Carr versus Burrow is probably the best quarterback matchup, and we get it to start the NFL playoffs this weekend.
It is, and you know, I think when you look at this matchup straight up, most people gravitate towards the Bengals because Joe Burrow is, you know, we're seeing him grow in front of our eyes. We've seen his link with Ja'Marr Chase. We've seen, you know, Joe Mixon really turn the corner this year as well and be, in certain games, an absolute beast. But those Raiders and what Derek Carr can do in select games, that's a tough team to sleep on right now. So I think on paper, the first glance at that matchup, Cincinnati's got the home field advantage. You're kind of leaning that way. But these Raiders, I'm not going to lie, at the beginning of the year, I didn't think they'd be a playoff team. I said it, and I look at this team and say they somehow picked up 10 wins. So I think it's a closer matchup than most people would think, just based on the fact that these Raiders do have an element, and that comes through Crosby, that comes through Ngakoue. If they can get in the grill a little bit of a Joe Burrow, you've got yourself a game here, right? Getting that pressure is going to be key. So great matchup on paper in terms of quarterback versus quarterback, but will they be able to pressure Joe Burrow and knock him off his game? That's really the key here.
That's the side of the ball where I think this game is dictated. Cincinnati has the ball, and what can that Raiders defensive front do? Because I do think in the back end, they can get a little sloppy, and given that you're going up against Chase and Higgins and Boyd and Uzoma and Mixon, you know, you can get exploited a bit. But if that defensive front against a weak Bengals offensive line, which still needs to improve, and Joe Burrow took a lot of sacks this year, that to me is the most interesting part of that matchup. Looking at Saturday, wrapping up Saturday, Patriots at Bills, spreads at 4.5 points right now. You know, we've seen multiple iterations of this matchup already, the AFC East opponents. The first time it was that snow game. The second time, you know, the Bills kind of went out there and, you know, 33-21, it was a handed victory in Foxborough. We're going to get another cold weather game here, but, you know, we talked to Danny Kelly already this week, and he was, you know, mentioning some Josh Allen in the cold stats. One thing that really stands out to me, though, is John Feliciano coming back on that offensive line. Now, he hasn't played a whole lot of snaps, but he, to me, is the glue that holds the offensive line together. And if he's going to be healthy, that, to me, might be kind of the separator again between Buffalo and New England. And it sucks because I, you know, after week 12, I kind of made this proclamation that my Super Bowl was Patriots versus Packers. And I don't want to, you know, slide off of that, but I the way the Bills have trended the last 3 weeks to me has been very encouraging to me, and they might be becoming the best threat to Kansas City.
Yeah, they have, and I think when we look at those Bills versus Patriots games, you know, this is kind of the rubber match, right? They won one each. Mm-hmm. The one in the wind was a bad one for the Bills, and they got embarrassed that game. But the wind should not be an issue in this game, and meaning that Josh Allen should be able to air out the ball a little bit more. And I know he doesn't play great in cold weather, but there's a difference between cold weather versus the wind. And they couldn't deal with the wind that one time. Now, looking ahead, also, Mac Jones, hasn't exactly had a dominant end to the season. I know he's not going to be airing it out, and that's not how they win games. But versus the Bills, you know, he's had 16 passes completed in two games. He's had zero touchdowns. He's had two interceptions. So give me the larger sample size to say I have more faith in Josh Allen-led team right now, because you're right. They're trending in the right direction, and the Bills do have home field advantage here. So I think, you know, there might be some doubts amongst Bills fans or pundits about whether they can get it done, and Bill Belichick's on the other side, and we know the Patriots in the past have been able to win, you know, matchups in the I think this Bills team is different than the one we saw in that matchup that was dominated by the win, that looked downtrodden. They have turned that corner. They're looking a lot better.
Because it's Belichick, I imagine this is going to be a popular underdog and upset favorite. What's the other matchup this week that you're looking at? Is it the 49ers one? It seems like they're the sexy underdog this week.
Yeah, and I'm not really going against what I've said all year long on the Cowboys. Like, I'm not sold on them, right? If you look at that resume,
that defense, though, man, the thing that concerned me about that team was the defense. And it is early, it was splashy plays, you know, yep. Javon Diggs, who made the All-Pro. But then as the season went along, man, like DeMarcus Lawrence, Randy Gregory, Micah Parsons, it's this three-pronged attack up front in the front seven. It adds to what they can do in the back end with the splashy plays.
Exciting team to watch. It's a bit of a roller coaster ride because defensively, yeah, you're right. They're good. But the issue I have with this team is that offensive consistency hasn't necessarily been a thing. And are you running into the wrong team at the wrong time? The 49ers have been playing well. And Deebo Samuel, can you contain what he's able to do? Can you contain, you know, are you in a position to play well offensively against a team like the 49ers? I just feel like the Niners are trending up. And I have that legit question that is still a question for me. The Cowboys, are they as good as we think they are? I don't think they are. I don't think they have that resume that stacks up there. You know, when you look at some of the teams they've beaten this year and some of the teams they've been beaten by, I'm still, you can call me a Cowboys hater, but I think their resume is weak.
This is the only game where I look at and I could make a case that both teams could go to the Super Bowl, right? Because if the 49ers get hot, that is a team that's like, okay, here they go. We've seen Jimmy G go to the Super Bowl, whether they win or not, different conversation, but It could work out for the 49ers. Cowboys, that offense clicks into gear, and they have the pieces. Let's not kid ourselves. It's Dak Prescott. It's Cooper. It's CeeDee Lamb. It's Zeke. They have the talent there. And the offensive line, Tyron Smith, Zach Martin, they got the talent. It can go right. I don't look at the other matchups and I say both teams could go to the Super Bowl. If Pittsburgh makes an upset, that's nice to do an upset now, but you're probably losing in the next round. Philly, they could do the upset, but you know, it still seems like a far cry to me. Vegas, I don't know if you could make that claim. This to me is the one that really stands out, is one of these two teams, they're going to advance and they might get hot.
For sure. And you know what the best part of this weekend is, Bick? Your team and my team are not playing, so therefore we can enjoy football. We can just enjoy it as neutrals and then bring on the drama.
I'd rather be miserable and have my team go to the playoffs.
Yeah, I'm not even used to that phenomenon with the Dolphins, all right? So I don't even know what that feels like anymore.
We got a ride here. Again, this football season, make it the Clayton Public House, 188th Street and 56th Avenue in Surrey, and the ClaytonPub.com. Satyar Shah, Dan Riccio coming up on Canucks Central. Thanks for making us part of your week. We'll see you next week here on the home of the Canucks, Sportsnet 650.